Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for making it over. We always come fun coming down here to the Marriott and getting a chance to ride down the escalators kind of up and down. It's almost like an entertainment ride a little bit. Welcome to engaging and winning users with your apps through intelligent conversations. This is the mystery session that got presented as office presentation on the printed one. So for those of you that managed to figure out the riddle, I'm glad you're here. For those of you that showed up, I'm very happy to be here together with my co-presenter, Shiv Kumar, who will be also talking us through some great capabilities. Yesterday was an exciting day for a lot of reasons. Today was an exciting day for a lot of reasons. We're here to basically talk through sort of that other third developer opportunity that she talked about this morning with Office, which is really how you can take really this conversation as a platform capability that we've been talking about and start to actually bring that into your applications and participating with your applications and as part of that. Now, you've had lots of keynote presentations that sort of cover these things. I just want to make sure that we highlight a few things. Number one, we think that this is really about how you're taking conversations into a new realm of interaction with users and doing it on their terms. And whether it's using the new Microsoft Cognitive Services or the bots SDK that was discussed yesterday for Skype, this is about how you can start to connect those things in with your applications and your experiences in the enterprise and with your users with Office 365. So it's about really how we make this as ubiquitous as possible and bring that into your experiences. Now, part of that then is recognizing that in order for you to actually go and engage and win the users that are in your apps, there are really some key things that you have to be able to do. It's great to have those canvases that Satya talked about where you can actually expose things in Skype, in Outlook, but you want to make sure that you can also connect your services to that, and you want to make sure that you can actually bring some of that context to that conversation. Now, bots are one way to bring that context in. Another way is to be able to actually bring that context in into your conversations where you're having them. So if you think about Outlook as a mail experience or as a conversational experience, or you think about Skype as a conversational experience, it's great for me to be able to have those discussions in Skype, but in a lot of cases, when I'm working through a business process or I'm working on a task, I'm actually really focused on that task. And the conversation is about helping me augment my ability to complete that task. So being able to have this notion of conversations in the app and conversations about the app really all start to contribute to this idea of you really being able to really have a very different type of experience with your end users. So to that end, we announced two big things this morning in Shiv's keynote. One was the general availability of the Office 365 group connectors. The second is a collection of Skype Developer Platform SDKs, the Skype Web SDK, and a preview of the Skype for Business app SDK, and we're going to show you sort of how those things start to actually connect and allow you to actually build out really a new set of experiences inside of your applications and services. So let's dive in for a second in terms of what it looks like for this embedding experience in your apps. Now, you saw this morning in the keynote the experience that we highlighted with MD Live, which was allowing a doctor and a patient to have a very seamless video experience inside of the flow of actually wanting to talk to a physician. I didn't necessarily have to step out into a separate app, but I was able to really go in through my app and be able to now contact and seamlessly have that interaction with that physician. Now, that's one example of being able to do that, but really it's about being able to now do that across different platforms. So part of the story for that is recognizing that it's a very cloud-first approach for us as we think about your opportunities to actually build solutions on top of conversations. So you think about the work that you've seen with cognitive services and with bots, with Skype for Business and the work that we've done to enable telephony and phone connectivity in a very sort of global way, and then being able to actually connect it in with things like Microsoft Graph and all the Azure services that you've been getting exposed to over the last couple of days. So think of this as the foundation for the platform. And over this, Skype for Business and the developer platform work that we're doing across the Skype organization are bringing a set of workloads that are all conversational in nature. And so whether it's my ability to have a phone call or to be able to initiate a video call with another user, my ability to exchange rich messaging like you saw from Lillian's session yesterday, my ability to actually share flexible types of content, and then as you get into more of the business and administration side, you start thinking about how I can manage my phone calls. We talked about what does it look like for me to make sure that I can have high quality experiences as I'm having these conversations. How do I know when people are dropping off or not? So these types of analytics are aspects that we absolutely are looking to support as part of our management and network management experiences and services over our network. Now, on top of this, as you've seen really across the entire event, we're making a very significant push towards support for common open standards for being able to author these experiences. So you've seen experiences with HTML, you've seen cross-platform experiences for managed code, for Objective-C with Android, the ability to actually Java with Android, Objective-C with Apple. So the ability to actually have these authoring experiences done in a very flexible way, we think is an important part of getting you as developers productive, to help you actually build the types of solutions that you want to build. And then finally, the platform is also about helping you expose your services inside of multiple canvases and giving you the ability to actually build your own new experiences. And so whether that is thinking about device experiences on things like phone form factors, going all the way up to large form factors like Surface Hub, and then being able to actually build custom devices and appliances that can actually bring these experiences in, whether that's things like kiosks for airport security, hotel reception, things like that. All these are aspects that allow you to bring these conversations really where they need to happen inside of your business and your process. So what we've announced today basically is a component of three key aspects. The first is that as part of the platform, we're exposing for the very first time the ability for you to actually interact with Skype for Business Online using our new Skype for Business user API. For those of you that have been engaged with Skype for Business for some time, you know that we have a rich history of developer platform capabilities with our on-premises server. This is really just the very first step in how we bring that rich platform set of technologies into the cloud, and you should see much more from us over the coming months as we bring more of these capabilities into the mix and really look to align these over the process of Azure 365 and others. Now, with this user service, this is the exact same service that we use to power the first-party services for Skype for Business today, and it's that first-party power that allows us to offer the Skype Web SDK, consuming that exact same service, but being able to now be embedded from an HTML perspective inside of your application, and so your app is able to take advantage of that both from an object model and from a web canvas perspective. Now, one of the key things that we're also introducing here is the ability for you to now incorporate media in as part of that stack. So the ability for me to actually have instant messaging, presence, being able to do ad hoc meeting scheduling and join, the ability for me to now incorporate this capability in with the rest of my Office 365 applications now starts to really line up a very compelling story that crosses everything that you see across a graph, across the Office 365 set of APIs, and into now communications and conversations with Skype. Now, the new release that we have here is actually our Skype for Business App SDK preview. Now, again, this is using the exact same user API service that the Web SDK is using. So the concepts are the same, the philosophies are the same, and this is designed for building native apps on top of both iOS and Android. But it also is about providing you with a great high-quality media stack that you can embed very directly, like you saw with MD Live. So this trio basically allows you to actually connect and build these applications that cross platforms, that are cloud-first, that are service-based, and that actually allow you to really deliver some new experiences for end users and customers. Now, we've highlighted a set of these at the event today. We've discussed in the past sort of our classic strength in things like contact center and customer care experiences, and we have partners like Clarity Consulting that are building out rich agent experiences that allow you to actually manage those incoming calls in a very flexible way. We also have our partnership that we announced with Salesforce earlier in the year. Now, Salesforce is an important partner for us, and we're very excited to be working with them. And in fact, they have a booth over here in the expo that I encourage everyone to go take a look at. This is something that you'll see more progress from us on in the very near future. And in fact, if you're interested in sort of getting more engaged in some of the work that we're doing there, feel free to stop by and talk to one of the reps at the Salesforce booth. MD Live, we showed at the keynote. And again, this is an important partnership for us because this is about how we start to change the story around telehealth and the conversations that you want to have in a secure, reliable way with your physician. So the ability to take advantage of all the information protection and the HIPAA compliance and certifications that come and are available as part of 365, and to do that in a very seamless end-to-end way from the physician experience on one side all the way through to a seamless patient experience in the mobile device, we think that's a very, very compelling story that we're very excited to push with MD Live into the rest of the year. Now, the fourth example here is actually one that is relatively new, and this is with a company called Smartsheet. Now, to help us with Smartsheet, rather than sort of talk about it, what I'd like to do is actually invite up Brian Harper, who is the VP of Development for Smartsheet, and we're going to talk through and show you some examples of what they've been able to do with the new SDKs. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Andrew.
So, tell us a little bit about Smartsheet.
Sure. Smartsheet is a collaborative work management platform that's trusted by over 8 million users across 80,000 customers in 190 countries around the world. Over half of the Fortune 500 relies on Smartsheet to deliver their very best work, everything from project management to event coordination to product launches. For example, Populous uses Smartsheet to manage major events like the Super Bowl and the Final Four, and Cisco uses Smartsheet to coordinate all of their product launches. Now, in the past, we've delivered integrations with OneDrive for OneDrive and Outlook and Power BI and Azure Active Directory, and today we're really excited to be working with Andrew and the Skype team to deliver a rich and engaging conversation experience within Smartsheet.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit, like, why Skype? What does that drive for Smartsheet?
Well, one of the top requests we've had from customers over the years is to add something like chat or some other form of instant communication within Smartsheet. And so when we learned about the Skype web SDK, it was a natural decision for us to investigate how easy we could implement that kind of rich conversation experience using a product that so many of our customers are already using.
Awesome. So can we take a look?
Absolutely.
Great.
So
we're on
number eight.
No,
seven. All right, so this is Smartsheet, and we allow different views of your data. So I've got a project here, and I'm looking at it in sort of a Kanban board view, but I'm a traditionalist, so I'm actually going to switch into our Gantt chart view here. And you'll see what we have here is columns that I've created for various things, including a quick view of our status, the task, the owner, start and finish dates. Now, I'll call your attention to the owner column here. You'll notice what we've done is we've added in Skype presence indicators in this column using the Skype Web SDK. So for everybody who owns a task here, I can quickly see whether they might be available to chat on Skype. So in this case, I'm looking through here and I'm seeing, hey, I've got a status here that's marked in the red for some reason. There's something wrong with it. And I want to find out a little bit more. I can see that Andrew there is now available on Skype. So I'm going to reach out to him and I'm going to have a quick conversation. So you can see as I hover over here, you have the familiar Skype buttons associated with this. And I'm going to go ahead and launch a chat session. And you'll see what we've done is we've opened up a pane within Smartsheet and embedded the Skype conversation UI. We did that using your Skype Web SDK's conversation control.
Absolutely.
And so I can quickly ask him a question like, hey, Andrew, why can't you do this task?
Now, I'm running Skype for Business on my local machine, and in fact, Brian and I don't work at the same company, but he's still able to actually use Office 365 to message me and find out what's going on. So, hey, Brian, this is great, but I just want to let you know I'm actually presenting right now. So I'm not going to be able to get to that particular task.
Okay. There it is. So I've got my response there. And yeah, of course, he's not going to be able to help us out here. He's here at Build. And in fact, he doesn't even work for me. So so that's not going to work too well. So that's great. That's really important information I just got about this task. Now, you'll notice when I close this task, I'm asked if I'd like to save this conversation. I'm going to click yes. And if you notice what's happened here, we've added this discussion now to this task in Smartsheet. And we've stored the entire transcript of the conversation that we just had. This is an enormously beneficial feature for project managers, anybody who's coordinating work, because there's very important decisions that get made in these sort of one-off conversations, and it's really important that you capture the entire context of that conversation back with your project. So that's a fantastic feature. Now, I still have to figure out who the heck is going to do this task to get this project back on track. So I'm going to need to chat with my project lead, maybe a couple of other developers, see who's available to maybe help with this. So fortunately, I can see that a few of those folks are actually looking at the sheet right now. I can see that Andrew's actually on this sheet. And there's Nikhil, our project manager. So what I'm going to do now here is I'm going to start a group video chat with these folks. And you'll see I get a little confirmation, again, showing their presence, so I know they should be able to join. And if we'll switch over here, you can see on Andrew's view, once it pops up, if it pops up. within Smartsheet, we've used our own collaboration mechanism to inform him that he has a meeting request. And so he's able to actually join the meeting directly from Smartsheet. And that's going to be true whether or not he's a guest or whether he's on Skype for Business or on regular Skype. So it's a really handy feature there. All right, looks like I've got Nikhil on the line. Nikhil, how's it going?
Hey, Brian, pretty good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you're live at Build. Hey, you know, I've got this task we're looking at here, and Andrew's not going to be able to do it because he's standing here on stage with me. So I'm wondering if it's something you could help out with or if you know somebody who can help.
Brian, it's a rare sunny day in Seattle, man. So I'm going to be heading out in some time. But you could try Jill, our contractor. She's done work for us before.
Okay. I will do that. Thanks a lot, Nikhil. Enjoy the sun. All right. So there you have it, a really quick, immediate conversation with the people that I need to talk to solve my problem right away. This is an urgent issue. So as Nikhil mentioned, we have a contractor who might be able to help on this, Jill. So the last thing I'm going to show you here is I'm going to go ahead and type Jill's name in here. She's a contact of mine here in Smartsheet, but you'll notice she has an Outlook.com address. She is not in our business. She does not have an account on our Office 365 account, but she does have a Skype account. So you'll notice her presence was still popped in there. So I'm able to actually reach out and have a conversation now with Jill. So I'll fire up that conversation pane one more time. And Andrew, over to you to show the other side of this. Once I say something.
Yeah.
Hey, Jill. Can you help?
Now, one of the things that's great here is that he's able to reach out to Jill. And so you might ask yourself the question, well, but Jill doesn't have a Skype for Business account, so exactly how are we getting in touch with Jill? Is it through some other sort of chat, or what's going on? And so, in fact, what you can actually recognize is that I'm actually now talking over Skype to Brian on Skype for Business in his embedded conversation inside of his application. And because I'm using Skype, I can actually get the full benefit of capability. So for example, the ability for me to now actually see that he's asking me a question, if I'm a non-native English speaker, I can actually have that question come through. And so here I can say, you know, ja, ich kann helfen. And so the ability for me to actually now have that conversation and come back to Brian in English, even though I'm speaking in very poor German, gives you the sense of sort of how these things actually can now start to connect using the conversational power inside of the conversations from Skype as a canvas and exposing that inside of your application.
So that's fantastic. So Jill's going to be able to help me out. So once again, I can save the result of that conversation. I now have proof that she told me she can help. I'm going to go ahead and mark this back now as in the green. And there you have it. We're back on track. The project's back on track. Thanks to the ability to have some very rich, meaningful, immediate conversations directly from within Smartsheet, thanks to the Skype Web SDK.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
What do you guys have planned next for this?
Well, our next step is to take this and show it to a lot of our customers to start to get their feedback on just how important this kind of experience is to them and to see what kind of feedback they have. We love to listen to our customers and see if they have other ideas. A lot of times they'll bring some of the best ideas to the table. So we're really excited to share this with them so we can get to work on building a really meaningful integration.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank
All right.
you.
Have a great rest of the conference. Let's give Brian a round. All right, so what we've seen there is an example of how you can take these conversational surfaces bring them into your application and still get the full benefit of Skype and Skype for Business all the way through that conversation chain. So whether it's using capabilities like Federation to talk to people outside of my company that are also using Office 365, or even reaching out to vendors or people that are outside of my company and in fact just using the power of Skype, you have that ability to have that conversation extend where you need it and in the context that you need it. So how did we start to actually pull those things together? So let's just dive into a little bit of more of the architecture for how the Web SDK gets its work done. So the Web SDK is actually sort of multiple layers. It is Angular, JS, JavaScript based. But the key thing to understand here is that it is an object model and a set of UI controls that you're actually getting dynamically from the Skype CDN network. And as part of this, this SDK is also actually providing you with abstraction over both your identity provider and your media provider. So a classic problem here is what if I want to be able to support integrated Windows Auth, let's say when I'm working in a on-premises deployment, but then I need to be able to support Azure Active Directory and OAuth when I'm working in online. How do I support both of those things? And so the Web SDK gives you the ability to actually support these different types of authentication schemes and still have that completely transparent to the rest of the process. Now, similarly, on the media provider side, one of the big sort of aspects inside of the real-time communication space has been the ongoing discussions around WebRTC. So this is around sort of how do we have an open standard for audio-video conversations. And Skype is actually very committed to what we're doing in terms of WebRTC, and we're actually an active contributor into the W3C group, an editor on that group. We're very excited about the sort of agreement and standardization around H.264. That are pending some Chrome builds to get those things in. And we've been working very closely with the Windows team to actually make sure that we have a great story for media inside of the Microsoft Edge browser that started actually in the November update. But in fact, we'll continue to see sort of more improvements and experiences coming forward as part of that. Now, in the Skype and Skype for Business side, we're very much pushing towards this. And in fact, we have working in the Web SDK release actually a preview of our support for plug-in free calling using Microsoft Edge and the native media stack inside of the browser. There will be some cases where plugins will still be needed, obviously, for sort of more advanced sharing. But really, for the core messaging and AV conversations, our goal is to really drive towards a very plug-in free experience as we move forward. Now, to show you some examples of sort of how this is working, because some people have asked me the question, hey, is this there or not? I wanted to actually just walk you through real quick a quick demo. And as part of this, highlighting some new assets that we've provided for developers as part of the releases here. So what we're looking at right now is actually our new Skype developer platform portal as part of office.com. And so this allows me to actually go ahead and see the overview. I can just quickly jump in and get started. And as part of getting started, you'll see that I have this link for this interactive demo. Now, that interactive demo actually walks you through that user API flow. It helps you understand how those REST calls get made. And in the process of doing that, it also allows me to actually now have a set of interactive use cases where I can go in and see how each of these things are actually working. Now, as part of this, when you work through this demo for the first time, we actually can assign you a set of tokens. And now, in order for me to actually do that, I'm actually going to just show you the sort of full flow. And so here what I can do is I can actually start. And when I sign in with my MSA, you'll notice that in order to get through this, we actually take you through some quick steps for being able to actually bring this out. So I have a set of multiple users that I'm creating. I have the ability to actually go ahead and see how some of these messages are actually getting done. So for example, if I want to update the status that you saw it was to do with Brian, you can see how that gets posted to the web service. I have the ability to actually see and start subscriptions, and so I can actually set updates here. You notice that I have other contacts that I can work with. So once I sort of work through some of these basic cases, and you'll see that I can do this for quite a bit, I can also go ahead and do some aspects of calling out. And in the process, this is about the experience for now being able to reach out and connect to other phones. So all these are enabled through the user service. And in fact, there's the phone call that's coming in from that particular one. So this is all about being able to now expose this support. And once I've done that, you'll notice that I now have a set of tokens. Now, as we move forward, we'll be expanding and increasing this sort of capability. So you'll be able to do this directly against your Office 365 organization, with these demos. That is coming in the near future. Now, as part of that, I'm going to go ahead and sign in. And then when I sign in, I can now go to the web SDK. I can go and say, great, here's my ticket. Nope. I think I pasted it wrong. Let's try this one more time. Okay. There we go. Now, in the process of doing this, you'll notice that this is actually also showing me some of the code that I'd be calling in order to actually do that sign-in. Now, once I've done the sign-in, you'll notice that I have the ability now to come in and see some other experiences. So, for example, if I wanted to get more information about me, I can actually see my status, in this case with this account, and I can see some of the code that's coming in here. Now, as part of that, you'll also notice that I can come in and actually do video. Now, I'm running an Edge right now. So you'll see, actually, that in the process of running an Edge, I actually can go ahead and say, hey, I want to actually do a phone call. And so I can go ahead and start. And I'm going to just call my Microsoft.com account here. And in the process of doing that, you'll notice that this will go ahead and start up an experience. And I'll accept the video over here on my Skype for Business client. And now that I've actually connected that, you'll notice that it's asking me if I want to let Skype use the phone. This is the browser asking. So I'm going to go ahead and say yes. And then as I do that, you'll notice that now I have video working in both ways. So no plugins, no other steps, no requests about which, you know, do you want to block ports against your firewall, any of these other pieces. This is working inside of Edge today with ORTC. So can I get a small golf clap for ORTC? All right, so with that, what we've shown you then is really a whole collection of capabilities that help you bring your and embed your conversations directly inside of your application experience, where you can start to add context, where you can now start to meld that conversation and your business process together. But that's one part of the story, right? So now I'm very happy we'll have Shiv Kumar come up and talk to us about how we can now connect your service to those conversations directly using new Office 365 connectors.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
So this morning you heard in Chi's keynote as to how conversation becomes the place where you can, where people can discover and access any information, as well as interact with any services in order to complete their tasks. So I'm Shiv Kumar Sitaraman. I'm a program manager on Office 365 connectors. So let's talk about how Office 365 connectors helps you drive in, or plug in into the conversation experience, as well as the tools that we have provided for developers in order to tap into that experience. So I'm going to begin by giving you a quick overview of connectors. And let me just get this going. Great. So Office 365 connectors is a powerful platform that integrates key tools and services that's used by a variety of users or customers. Our customers, they perform several job functions. And as a result, we have connectors spanning these various segments, such as project and productivity with Trello, Asana, Wunderlist, customer relationship with Salesforce, Microsoft Dynamics, and Zendesk, news and social with Bing News and Twitter, developer tools such as GitHub, Stack Overflow, Visual Studios, and many, many more. Connectors brings relevant and interactive content from these services, and the information is tailored to each third-party service. The content is viewed in a consistent card format across these multiple clients alongside your conversations. The card format is designed to surface key information in an easy consumable way, as well as perform quick actions against them directly against the updates. Users, they get granular control. You only get the information that you need. So we've introduced Office 365 connectors in the context of groups. And there's a great synergy between groups and connectors. Groups are a collaborative space which centralizes conversation amongst members. Similarly, connectors brings conversations to one place instead of being scattered across different applications. Groups are a shared space, so connectors are created by any group member, not just administrators, and shared with members of the team. Groups are productive, as members tend to share the most relevant information to make, to keep the team up to date with what's going on and to achieve a shared outcome. So connectors bring in the relevant information that helps makes the group more efficient. Groups are flexible. Typically, a group scales well with different kinds of users and the communication needs of these various members of the teams. Similarly, connectors, they scale gracefully from short updates to long digests based on the information that's relevant to each service. So let's take a quick peek into Office 365 connectors with groups. So I'm going to switch to my laptop here. That's number 8. So for this demo, imagine there's a company with a few employees on Office 365, and they collaborate with each other using groups. And these users are distributed, and they use different devices. So let's wait for this to come up. It's number 8?
Was that the iPhone 8?
No. This is 2, is it? Got it. Okay, that's good. That's great. Thank you. All right, so what I have here is John from this who's an employee of this small company, who's logged into his groups client from Outlook on the web. And he's created a group called Project, which he's going to use to track information about a recent product launch. So he's going to join this group to Trello. And as you see, he launches the connectors catalog right from within the group. And then he's going to quickly scroll through this catalog to configure Trello. And as you see, there are a number of connectors here. And let me just get, bear with me. Yeah, it's already configured here. So I'm going to add another connector for Trello. As John was previously logged in, you skips the initial logon session with Trello, and then he's going to simply subscribe to the board here and create this connector configuration. And once this connector configuration is created, you'll notice that there's a message that's sent to this particular group, which is shared with all the members. And this is basically informing the group that the user, John, has joined it to Trello. Okay? The next thing is John's going to quickly create a post in Trello. So I pre-populated a particular task. It's organized marketing strategy meeting with trade research. He's going to add this. And in addition to that, he's also going to assign this to his colleague, Sanjay. Okay? And he's going to add a little comment here to follow up with Tom from Trey Research. Okay? So once John's created this task, he goes back to his group mailbox, and as you can see, the information from Trello is quickly pulled in into the group. So this is a great, and if you look at these messages, they are represented in a consistent card format, And it, again, shows you the most important information with regards to the task that was assigned to Sanjay. Next, I'm going to show you how Sanjay interacts with the group. I'm going to switch to the iPhone. And that's number 8. Great. So Sanjay is another employee who uses the group's app on iPhone. And as you can see here is when he launches this, launches the group projects. In a moment, there you go. He sees the same consistent card that is rendered natively in this app. And so the Trello card has all the same information that you just saw in Outlook on the web with the same key information there. It also provides a quick action, which is deep linked to the information in Trello. So if I click View in Trello, it will take you to the Trello app that if that's installed on the phone. So just give it a moment, and there you see that it brings up the activity in Trello. So as you can see how easy it is with these deep links for the user to actually navigate to a different app application and to see all that information also centralized within the group. So let me switch back to the group. So this information, so the use, as we get bring in the conversation from this application into the group, you can also interact and start a conversation with it within the group. And that's the power of conversations as a platform. So in this case, Sanjay is going to ask for some clarification on the tasks as to what's Tom's number from Trey. He's going to post that information. Okay? So I'm going to quickly switch back to my desktop. And the same activities, again, start flowing in to Outlook on the web. We have another user here who uses Outlook 2016 as the group's client to hook up to connectors. And Hannah, I'm just waiting for this content to come in, and just in a moment, you'll see that sync down. Yes, and there you go. All the information is now available in the Outlook's group client in Outlook 2016. And this conversation, the same information is now represented in a consistent format in Outlook 2016 as well. And the conversation is carried into Outlook. And Hannah quickly responds with this information. And as you see, the conversation continues to evolve. Hannah also monitors another group for feedback from users. And as you've seen, there's a user here who's complained about an issue with their Android application. So this team also uses GitHub in order to track issues. So Hannah quickly creates an issue in GitHub with this information, assigns it to her fellow employee, and submits it. From here, you see the information is synced back to this particular group. Again, the same consistent card format from GitHub showcasing the key information for consumption here. Bing Chu is another employee of this company, and switch to Miracast here for a moment. And he's on the Android device, which has this group, group application. And he sees these sees the same consistent interface on the Android app as well. So what you see here is the same familiar layout with all the key information on Android. So what I've shown you here is really how you can easily configure conversations from Outlook on the web. Sorry. As well as consume it through various groups platforms. So late last week, we announced the general availability of connectors. Today, we have around 60-plus connectors that's available. In addition to that, I think we are close to at about 70 or 75 connectors. So there's pretty remarkable progress that we have made. You can configure connectors from Outlook on the web. You can consume content for connectors from all the group's platforms, such as Outlook 2016, Outlook Web Access, or Outlook on the web, and the various groups' mobile apps. You can also build your own custom connectors through the incoming web hook. And we have made the Add to Office 365 button available that lets users configure connectors from your third-party service. Today, we also announced the availability of the developer portal for customers or these services to implement and submit your own connectors. This is currently available in beta. With this slide, I would like to quickly acknowledge our newest partners who have built connectors on our platform, and they are featured in the InClient Connectors catalog. Thanks to these partners. So why should I build a connector? There are several reasons. One, your customers are in Office 365. With about 60 million enterprise seats and about 50,000 SMBs being added each month, I think that's a pretty good number in terms of reach and mind share. Two, it's super easy to build a connector. All you need is a webhook, and I will demonstrate that in a moment. The catalog gives you direct exposure for your brand. Your logo, your brand name, and your tagline is in front of millions of users. And that's, you know, it's amazing in terms of the amplification it gives to your brand. So let's quickly look at a demo of custom connectors. So I'm going to use Fiddler. In fact, you can use any other client that you like. But in this case, all I'm going to do is post an HTTP request, excuse me, to a webhook. I've entered, simply provided a header here, and the body includes a text property with the string hello world in there. Okay, I'll show you in a moment from where I got that webhook address. So I'm going to execute this, and once it comes back with 200 success, let's go back to the group and look at what came in. There you go. So what you just saw was that, you know, I just posted a simple message to the webhook, and that information shows up in a simple card format with the text that I just posted. I'm going to go quickly to the connectors catalog and show you the incoming webhook that I had configured in advance. So what I provided here was simply a name, an image, and the platform generated that webhook address. And this is where I posted that information to. Okay? So there's more to the incoming webhook than just simply posting these text strings. It supports a pretty rich schema. And we have a great tool for developers to help you visualize what the message is going to look like as you submit to that webhook. So we have this connector sandbox, which allows developers to play with the whole experience of creating a message and visualizing them. So the first step here is to authorize your application. So there's a connect to Office 365 button. This button is essentially a link to a group pickup page. So once you click on it, if you're already logged in, it's going to take you directly to this picker. You can select the group to which you want to post the message. Once you allow that, it's going to return back to with a callback address as well as the webhook information in the URL. And this is basically the information that you would, if you're building your connector, you would need to store this webhook address in your application so you can later on post a message to it. So it's really that simple. This page then includes a payload to generate that connector message. So you can preview the connector card by clicking on this button, and this is what you see here. You can also tweak this information in the card. So in this case, I'm going to blow the theme color and then preview the card and see what it looks like, and this is what you see here. Really very simple, right? And then I'm going to post this message to the group And once it's done successfully, let's take a look at it in the group. Okay. What you see here is basically the first message indicating that a webhook, this custom connector was joined to this group. And the second is actually the message that you just posted from there. Okay? So let me switch back. All right. So a short while ago, I just mentioned about the dashboard for anyone to build a connector and submit it to the connector store. This is available at a very simple URL, which is outlook.office.com/connector/publish. And it's really very easy for a developer to build and submit a connector. It includes three basic steps. Step number one, you provide some basic information, such as your connector name, your logo, the list of events supported, the landing page URL, etc. Once you submit this information, the dashboard automatically generates a script that you can integrate into your app and verify the end-to-end experience. Three, you can submit the connector for review by Microsoft for it to be listed in the in-app connectors catalog. So let's take a quick look at this experience. So what you see here is the connectors developer dashboard at the URL above. And I don't have any connectors that I've submitted yet, but once I click on New Connectors, it brings up this page. And I have pre-populated this page with information, such as the connector name. In this particular case, I'm building a custom connector for applicant tracking system, so I'm calling it Wingtip Applicants. There's a logo that I've uploaded. A short description of the connector. This gets featured in the connectors catalog page. There's detailed description of what the connector does, and this is featured in the configuration page, the company's website, and the list of events supported by the connector. Two other important fields are the landing page for your users and the callback URL. Okay? So I'm going to save this, and once I do that, the dashboard generates the script for you to use in your application. So let's simulate the web page. So I'm going to cut and paste this URL. And what you see here is the same group picker that you saw earlier in the Connect to Office 365 button. So I'm going to pick a group. And let's pick engineering. Click OK. And it's making a request to our stub, and it's getting redirected back again with the callback address. And this is expected because I don't have an application listening on this endpoint. Now, let's go to the group and see what happened. So you see a message for the Wingtip applicants, which has been added to this particular group. If you go to the connectors catalog, you're going to see this particular connector that's now listed in the catalog. And if you click View, you can see the information that you had supplied in that page is now listed in the configuration information. Okay? So it's, again, really very easy to build this connector. And once you're ready to publish it, you can submit it to the developer portal. So let's talk about the roadmap for Office 365 connectors. So today we introduce connectors in the context of groups. We want to expand the experience to other surfaces. So we plan to bring connectors for the inbox. One of the key value props for connectors is to take these quick actions from the connector cards in order to drive engagement for the external services and improve productivity. The reply action on the connector messages will help carry forward that conversation into the external services. The connector catalog is right now only featured in Outlook on the web. We plan to bring the catalog to other groups applications such as Desktop Outlook and the group's mobile app. as we start to bring in richer and interactive content into the various groups and canvases, we need to evolve the connector cards. Newsletters, media, are some of the well-known cases where we need to evolve and develop these specialized cards and experiences. Finally, call to action. We have a couple of key sessions. For the first session is a deep dive into how to build those connectors with code samples. Unfortunately, that preceded the current session. However, you can revisit it on Channel 9, which is connecting your apps and conversations to over 60 million Office 365 users. We have a session on Skype tomorrow to embed Skype conversations into your apps. That's at 10:40 tomorrow, so I encourage you guys to attend it. We have other valuable resources. We have documentation for Outlook connectors at dev.outlook.com/connectors, and similarly for Skype at dev.office.com/Skype. We have Getting Started guides featured there as well. You can submit your feedback through UserWise, and we have tags on Stack Overflow if you have any product-related questions. So with that, the one last thing is to please complete those evaluation forms. Your feedback is really important to us. And if you have any further questions, we'll take that. Thank you.